I know that, dude.
All right. We are fired up and smoking.
Yes, we are.
Wait, so we had dude, I know that dude. I still get to go, right?
You still get to go.
Okay. Dude.
That's how we do it.
That's how we do it.
Yes. Welcome to another live edition of the Dudes of Disruption. We do this every Sunday, 11. Oh, we do this every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Did you forget?
No, I didn't forget. You know, we're getting settled in because I'm actually so excited because we have a special in-studio guest with us today.
Who do we have, Gregory?
We have Ash Cash, the financial motivator himself, and also a host of a show that comes on the Ash Cash Show right before ours every Sunday. They're on from 1 to 2 p.m.
Where is he? Let's see him. Let's hear from him.
Ash Cash in the building. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate you.
Come on, man. We appreciate you having here. And the voice you heard to kick off the show is that of me, Gregory Neesmith, one of the Dudes of Disruption. I am an on-air personality, a professional coach, and champion of the underdog.
Ooh, I like it. Yes. I like it. Superhero.
And superhero stuff. And we also have Nick, Mr. Good News Papadopoulos, who is a transformational speaker, author, and by no coincidence,
I am a disruptor, and I am the delivery man, Ash. I am the delivery man for good news.
Love that. And shout out to Tommy Spiro, who is a creative director and also one of the dudes, is taking a vacation day today. And so we are grateful to have Ash Cash in the studio with us, holding it down for the next hour for some disruption.
Yes.
And today's topic is...
What are we disrupting today?
You hate your job.
I do? I hate my job?
I hope you don't hate your job because you're sitting across from me right now.
Right.
We do this every Sunday. But
right.
I know something that I think you know, too. And Ash probably knows this, too. There's a lot of people out there who hate their job.
Ooh, lots of people. Lots of people. Not liking their jobs.
No, so we're going to talk about today. Today's topic is your job is killing you. And we do this every week.
Right.
But we do stuff outside of the studio, too.
Yes, we do.
We're also coaches. So we coach business teams, executives. We also coach people one-on-one life coaching. And we have a men's group in New York City.
Men's group. And we have a men's group session, Ash, tomorrow night, by the way. You're welcome to come as a guest, Global Tribe. Tomorrow night, we have a men's group, October the 10th, Columbus Day.
Yes.
7 to 9:30. Come as our guest. Email us at dudesofdisruption@gmail.com. Be a guest.
Yes, indeed. And this show, we'll have parting shots to end.
Yes.
We'll have the Say What Stories of the Week.
Say what?
We're going to talk about this discussion around your job is killing you. And we're going to take your online comments plus phone calls throughout today's show. You can call us at 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Online comments coming in from Facebook today, too.
Yes.
Have at it, because we're going to be asking you that question. What did you want to be when you were a kid?
What did you want to be when you grew up? When you grow up, right?
Yes. And what's getting in the way if you haven't done it yet? But we start off every show.
How do we start every show?
With opening comments.
Yes.
And a quote from Nick, Mr. Good News Papadopoulos, and we call it Nick's Riff.
I know that, dude. Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Just try your best. Try everything you can. And don't you worry what they tell themselves. If you're away, it just takes some.
All right. We are dancing in the studio today. Love it.
Yes.
Love the energy that Ash is bringing. As Gregory said, we start the show with Nick's Riff, which includes a quote. This quote is a good one. I believe sets a really good context for our show, which is, I have looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I'm about to do? And whenever the answer, Global Tribe, has been no for too many days in a row, I know, you know, it's time for a change. Steve Jobs. Mm. So the title of our show is This Job is Killing You, right? That's the name of our, that's a title?
Yep.
And it is about your level of engagement, your level of satisfaction, your level of fulfillment at work, because work, our careers, your career, what you do for a living, is a huge part of your life. As they say, you spend the majority of your life at work, whatever you consider to be work and whatever your place of work is, right? I think this conversation is really about, I'm going to say it differently. I believe this is a conversation about being on the court and off the court.
Ooh, I love sports.
I know you love sports. That's why I'm bringing it to you, brother.
Let's get into this.
Okay, so you, so Gregory, you like what's your favorite sport or sports?
We playing basketball.
Yes, they are. The Knicks won last night, by the way.
I'm a Sixers fan, but yeah, shout out to the Knicks.
Okay, so you're a basketball fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to relate this now to on the court, off the court. Okay, so when you're on the court playing. Right? You're a point guard, right? We call you the point guard of our show. You're a point guard on your basketball team.
Yep.
What's the experience that you have of yourself? You could even say of others, but really yourself. When you're on the court playing the game, what's the experience you have?
The experience I have, especially being that I get to play the point guard,
yes.
which Ash knows also, is that I am in control.
Okay.
Or at least I'm in the mix.
Yes.
I have a say in what's going to happen, how things are going to turn out. I'm not relying on the people who aren't a part of the game.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm doing it.
You're doing it. You feel like you're in control. It sounds like your level of satisfaction may be higher. Even if you're losing or you make a bad play, there's an element of feeling like, well, I have a say in the matter.
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. When you're off the court, when you're sitting on the side and you're just watching and you're just observing, what's the experience you often have of yourself?
Well, frustrated.
Okay.
A lack of say of what's going to happen.
Yes.
Like I can yell and I can say things and give advice, but it's not the same because I'm not out there on the court with whoever's playing to have a real impact on the score of the game.
Exactly. And that's why I think our careers are very much like being on the court, off the court. When you're on the court in your career, you have an experience of being engaged and more creative and more innovative and more collaborative and more in partnership and more awake and more and even smarter, actually. There's tons of data that show that when you're highly engaged, you're actually smarter. And it's not because you're actually smarter, because you've always been smart. You've always had the ability. You've always had the know-how. It's that when you're engaged, you're unleashed, you're alive. That's what you're describing when you're on the court. Listen, I watch my dad. My dad is an immigrant, came from another country. He worked, and I think much like your dad, blue-collar job, right? Your dad did what again?
He was a butcher in a meat packing factory and worked there every day of his life almost, at least 6 days a week.
And the way you sound in that voice, sounds like he may have been off the court?
I mean, hey, he was... He took care of the family, but it definitely took its toll. Like, when he got home, he was tired. He went to sleep early, woke up early, and he worked more than he did probably anything else in his life.
Yeah, my dad, the same way. My dad was a tailor. Left in the morning, 6:30, 7 a.m. at the latest. Got home, 6:30, 7, every evening. And he was beaten. And he spent... Whatever time he had left, whatever energy he had left in him, he talked about all the other things he wanted to do.
Yes.
He talked about all the other dreams that he had. And so for me, this show is very personal. This conversation is very personal because it's really about disrupting this automatic, especially for the men out there, because we're dudes and we're often talking to dudes, is that disrupting this automatic that you have to stay in a job that's dissatisfying or stay in a situation that's dissatisfying, or that even if the situation feels right to stay in, finding ways to get empowered and to get yourself on the court. I think that's what we want to talk about.
Yes.
Right? Because you may even stay in a situation that's not the most desirable. And at the same time, how do you actually find a way to make it more desirable? Is there a way to do that? Do you have any examples of that?
Well, I have an example. I'm in a coaching certification program right now.
Okay.
And one of our peers sent an email about he was getting frustrated with this whole coaching thing. He's like, hey, I'm not sure if I really want to be a coach.
Right.
He goes, I love the fish.
And by the way, Global Tribe, how many of us have said that, right? Do I really want to be doing this? It feels right, sounds right, looks good. your true self, your true north knows differently, right?
Knows differently. And how many of us have said stuff like, you know, I wish I could just be on the beach all day. And in this case, this gentleman goes, I just want to fish.
He said, I want to just fish.
He literally is like, I love fishing. He goes, I just want to fish.
Okay.
And I'm doing this program, and like at the end of the day, I just want to go fishing.
Yes.
And literally, there was some coaching and some feedback, and he had some conversations with folks, and he actually came up with an idea of how could he combine coaching and fishing.
Interesting.
And what he came up with is this idea of when you go out, you get connected to nature. It's a little bit quieter. It slows down. And he started to realize that he could actually do workshops or coach people with a one-hour, two-hour fishing trip or a fishing retreat where literally he could fish.
I love
and
it.
Coach
I love
at the
it.
Same time. So
I
for
love
folks
it. Brilliant.
Who think that there's
brilliant.
Some silly idea or they can't do what they really want to do. And what I really love about it is that when he said it, I was like, damn, that's a great idea. And it literally was just him taking his true passion and dream.
Yes.
And finding out how he could master being a coach, do the fishing he wanted to do, and at the same time serve people. And it is actually brilliant.
It's brilliant. That is a great example of someone getting themselves on the court and feeling like and having the experience of being in control and actually making stuff happen. This is what I'm saying, Gregory. This conversation is less about career and actually more about how much do you love or care about yourself. If you love yourself, if you care about yourself, you would put yourself in a healthy situation versus a situation that causes you harm and stress. When we're in a situation where we're disengaged and frustrated, it causes mental, physical, and emotional stress on us. I'm going to just give you a couple of stats and then I will go to break.
Yep.
I found some statistics that were staggering. 86% of people say that they don't have passion for their work. 86% don't have passion. 80% of senior leaders who are supposed to be the folks who lead us by example are not passionate about their work. 36% of employees would be willing to give back $5,000 just to be a little happier at work. Mm. So Global Tribe, join us for the next three segments because this conversation is really about how do we get back on the court so that we have a different experience around the place that we spend the majority of our time.
Sounds good. And we're also going to talk about what did you want to be when you were a kid? And if you haven't done it yet, what's getting in the way? Because we know a little secret. Your job is killing you. More from the Dudes of Disruption coming up after this break. Welcome back to the Dudes of Disruption. Show Sunday, podcast Monday.
Yes.
And today's topic, your job is killing you.
Yes, it is. And Global Tribe, we want to know, what did you want to be when you were younger?
All right. I want to know what you wanted to be when you're younger. Who's going first? I'm looking across the studio.
Yes.
And I see Ash Cash, the financial motivator. I see Nick, Mr. Good News Papadopoulos. What did you two want to be when you were younger?
We want to get Ash first on the hot seat.
Are you guys going rock, paper, scissors? What are you going to do?
Yeah, no, I could go first. I mean, for me, I wanted to play basketball and I wanted to act. I wanted to be an actor. I went to drama school in junior high school. My junior high school had like a drama program. Did that. High school, I went to a school that had a drama program. Funny story, though, is that I stopped acting because of ego, right?
Mm.
I had... did an audition for a play, and I killed it. I should have got the leading part.
According to you.
No, according to everybody. Not even according to me. According to everybody.
The world according to Ash.
The world according to everybody else. And I killed it. And the problem was that I was a ninth grader. I was a freshman. And they gave the part to a senior. I didn't understand why they gave it to him until later on, where they were like, well, you got three, you know, you could do this some more times, but this is his last go-round, so let him go. But I was like, nope, I should have got the part, so I wound up quitting and not acting again.
Interesting. The ego got in the way. I love it.
Okay, so actor
and
basketball player.
Yep.
And we're going to come back to, like, what happened after that later in the show. Next up, Mr. Good News. Nick, what did you want to be when you were a kid?
I wanted to be a musician. I really did. I used to go to these concerts. My parents are Greek immigrants, and we used to go to these Greek clubs in Astoria, Queens, in New York. And we used to go up to the Catskills a lot for our family vacation. And there would be a band, a Greek band. And I used to bring this drum with me all the time, and I would be playing on the drum, like, at the table. People would be looking at me like, who is this, you know, 6-year-old, 7-year-old? And I always had this vision of being on stage. And performing, and it's interesting because even though I'm not a musician, I am performing, right? I perform on the radio. I do public speaking. I facilitate, you know, leadership development programs. So it's kind of interesting how it actually transpired over the years. And I think that's an important point to folks, is that don't get attached to how it's going to look. In my case, I thought it was going to be a musician. Rather, get attached to what's really behind it, right? Like being in front of people, being heard by people, having a message that makes a difference, or at least that's my intention, to have it make a difference.
What I'm hearing so far is, sitting across from me are two guys who wanted to be in arts and entertainment.
Yes.
And while Ash may not be an actor yet.
Yes.
Because there's still an opportunity to be an actor.
Yes.
And while you may not be a musician yet, you two are actually entertainers.
Yes.
Currently, right now.
Ash is this, I was going to say, Ash, he may not be acting in the traditional sense. At the same time, he is on stage.
Absolutely.
With a point to make a difference. In your case, it's about financial freedom. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's interesting how it plays out. And I think what's really important is that you continue to listen to that little voice, and we all have those little voices, right? The ones that are talking to you right now saying, how does he know I have those little voices? And to, like, what's your true north?
And still to come, part of this conversation is, and I know a lot of folks can relate to this, is they may have had a dream when they were younger, but something called life got in the way.
Yes.
And knowing both of you very well, I know that you guys haven't been entertaining your entire life, even though as
kids.
Oh, come
on now. Is he calling us out?
It's calling us out.
I'm just saying. So the global tribe is going to want to know what got in the way, and then how you got around that to finally get back to being in the arts and entertainment, which you've known since you were a little kid, even if you let life tell you something different.
Yeah, and you were saying, Gregory, before the show when we were planning, you said, we all know. And I think that's the rub, right? That we all know from a young age or early on what's really, really important to us.
Yes.
And when we don't follow that little voice or follow that part of our intuition, that's where the frustration and the disengagement and the misalignment at work happens.
It does. And I'll tell you one of my favorite quotes before I tell you a story about me starting to tell someone what I wanted to be.
Yes.
One of my favorite quotes, and I never thought Eddie Murphy would be so profound.
Ooh, an Eddie Murphy quote. Ooh, I love it. Old school, baby.
Yes, I was watching Arsenio Hall back in the day. For folks who may not know, Arsenio Hall had a talk show.
What did he used to do, Gregory? Hold on, let me put you on the camera here. What did he used to do, Arsenio Hall?
Come on, man. He had the dog pound. And Eddie Murphy was on the show. And he asked Eddie, he was like, when did you know you wanted to be an entertainer?
Right.
And Eddie takes a little pause and he goes, we all know what we want to be.
Mm.
We just let life tell us something different.
Mm. Yep.
And it stuck with me because I'm actually a big fan of, guess what out there? I know you actually already know what you want to be.
Right.
Now, you may let life tell you different, but I don't think people are discovering their passions. I think for most folks who are adults, it's different if you're like in your teens or 20s, but if you're in your 30s or up, you're rediscovering
what Ooh, you've like. Always wanted to do, Ooh. Not discovering for the first time.
Wait, hold on. That's like a drop the mic kind of moment, don't you think, Ash?
Especially because tomorrow is, was it Christopher Columbus Day, yeah. and we talk about discoveries.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And so it's about rediscovery, not discovering. And I'll tell you sometimes what can get in the way, though.
Okay.
Just like you, I got considerations, right? I got bills to pay.
Right.
I got... actually, maybe I'm afraid to be vulnerable and tell people what I really want to do. And we're going to talk about vulnerability. But I'll tell you one kind of a dating story.
Okay.
So I had my corporate job a couple years ago.
Okay.
And I was just getting ready to think about leaving it. So I go out on this date with this young lady. And, you know, before we met, she asked, like, what do you do? And I'm like, hey, you know, I work at such and such company and, you know, I make decent money. So she's like, cool. Like, I'm getting this corporate cat. So we're on like our second or third date. And
she's like, I got myself an executive.
Yeah, she's like, I got an executive. And I say to her, maybe this is like our second or third date. And I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about leaving my job.
Uh-oh.
And she was like, what?
It's good to know you.
It's good to know you.
She was like, this is like a bait and switch.
She's like, do I have to pay for this meal, that means?
She's like, I don't do starving artists. She's like, I'm done with those days. I've dated guys who have dreams before.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
And I say that story to say not that it's like women do that to men. I think men can do that to women. Parents can do that to their kids. So I'm not just calling out women as like being dream killers. I'm just saying there's people out there who may go, oh, no.
Right.
And I just wanted folks to know that it's normal to have also people in your life who may actually come at you and question, like, what are you doing?
Yes.
And that's okay, but don't let it stop you.
Mm. Yes, exactly.
But what if stuff like that does happen? What if you do have responsibilities? Let's talk about what do we do.
Well, you know, you said before, a few minutes ago, you said that we always have the answer. It reminds me of that Bob Dylan song, Blowing in the Wind. Mm-hmm. You know, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. And I actually think it's blowing inside you. You always know the answer. And I think what's important, and the answer to your question, Gregory, is that when people give you pushback... And they will. And by the way, that's okay. It's part of their job, actually. Because you have the answer within you, like Bob Dylan says, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. It's there. It's right around you. Is to actually be vulnerable. Men and vulnerability is really, really powerful. And a man's power actually lies in their ability to be vulnerable. And Global Tribe, just to be clear, vulnerability shows up and looks and sounds a lot of different ways. Vulnerability is when you're willing to take a stand and not know what you're going to get back. And there's no guarantee that people, like you were describing in this case, that the date that you were on, that the person's going to agree with you and embrace you with open arms. Vulnerability is willing to have a conviction about something, a belief about something, and then willing to make a declaration around it, and then go do the doing around it. And by the way, when people see you in action, and they see, especially a man, when they see a man believe in something, people get turned on.
They do.
People want to, like, hop on that bus. And so to me, the secret to the success is be convicted, but tap into your vulnerability. Like, be willing and be okay with people pushing back.
Very true. And in that scenario, I was actually okay with her pushing back. And in hindsight, one of my lady friends told me she should have realized that if I was willing to bet on myself after leaving the job that I had, she probably should have got on board.
Yes.
Because I was being both responsible.
Yes.
In terms of making sure I had certain savings in place, working through ventures and getting them set up for success while I still had my job at the time. And at the same time, being responsible, but also being vulnerable enough to start sharing with the world what I was up to. And guess what? People started wanting to reach out and help.
And then sometimes that pushback is actually a test for you.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're about to jump out and do something and someone pushes back, if you don't really believe, you're going to question whether you should do it or not. So it's actually a good thing that people push back, that people say, wait, are you sure?
Right.
Because if you are really convicted, if you really know this is what I'm supposed to do,
right,
then that won't even bother you.
It's actually a gift from the universe. Oh, right? Like this woman that was on the date with you was actually a gift from the universe saying, hey, let's really test this out now.
Yeah, let's make sure you really about to go follow your dream?
Yeah, how much do you really want this, right?
And the gift she gave me was that in that moment, I knew just how sure I was that I was going to go follow my dream.
And for the dudes out there, for those of you who are in a relationship already, you're married or you have a girlfriend, you have a partner, you're living with them, One of the things that's really important for men, especially when, because careers are really important to us dudes. I mean, we define ourselves by our careers, right, Gregory? I mean, a big part of our identity and our value comes from careers. And it's also our responsibility that when we want something, that we make a request from our partner, specifically make a request for support with them. And what women want often, what I found in working with men, is that what women want is a plan, at least. And a plan usually equates to safety. So you don't have to have it all figured out. And at the same time, give your partner the experience like you are interested in having it all figured out, that you're on the journey and in the process of figuring it out, and that you want their you want their partnership. That's part of being vulnerable, is asking your partner for their support, for their insight, to say, here's what I got. Here's what I believe. Here's what I think is going to go down. I'm really confident I can make this happen. I'd love to get your support. I'd love you to hop on the bus with me. That's also part of being vulnerable as a man.
Yes, being responsible and vulnerable all at the same time so that your job will not be killing you. And we'll talk more about that. We got the Say What Stories of the Week to come up. And I still get to share what I wanted to be when I was younger.
Yeah, Global Tribe, what do you want to be? What did you want to be when you were growing up?
Yes, more to come. And we're going to read some online comments. All of that after the break. More Dudes of Disruption coming back.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, would you capture it? Just let it slip. Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti.
You only get one shot.
Eminem.
Love that song. And appropriate for a show about your job is killing you, but it doesn't have to be.
Yes.
And we wanted to have this conversation that folks can actually get in touch with going after what they really want.
Right.
Or even getting what they really want inside of where they already are.
Exactly. Yeah. And think about that, Global Tribe. You may be in not the most desirable situation, and at the same time, you can get yourself on the court and figure out ways to make it different.
Yes.
That's part of being on the court. It's like you actually get to choose to make it different.
Yes. And I don't want to leave the Global Tribe hanging.
Yeah.
We knew about Ash wanting to be an actor and a ball player.
Yes.
And he still plays ball to this day.
Right.
And he's performing now. And you wanted to be a musician.
Yes.
And still to this day.
A drummer, by the way.
Specifically a drummer.
Yes.
Making the beat happen.
Right.
And you are now an entertainer. So still to come, I want to figure out what happened in between being a kid and now, because there's a gap between your entertainment lives.
What got in the way?
Yeah, what got in the way.
Okay.
And I want to share, when I was younger.
Yeah.
I knew a couple things. I wanted to be mayor of Philadelphia.
Mm. All right.
I wanted to be, have my own radio show.
Mm.
And I wanted to be the guy you call when you needed something like fixed, like Mr. Turnaround or consultant. Like, I wanted like a presidential campaign to call me and like, hey, we need Gregory to help us figure stuff out. Or someone has business trouble, like, hey, we need to call Gregory to help them figure it out. I always knew since I was like 10.
Not to fix things at home. But rather,
like the turnaround guy.
Got it.
Yes.
Olivia Pope? Like,
yeah. Yeah. You call me and
Michael
you,
Clayton. That's yeah. You know, like, just, if anybody saw that movie, it's the same.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
And so I knew those things now. But to the vulnerability piece, I oftentimes wouldn't want to tell people what I really wanted, because in my head, I knew I wanted to be a radio host with a globally syndicated in at least 10 countries show.
Mm.
And this is one of the few times I've actually said it out loud, because part of me didn't want people to think that I was like crazy.
Right.
Or to have people say to me, like, that's stupid. Like,
right.
How are you going to get it in the U.S., let alone some other country?
Right.
Or you've never been on the radio before,
right.
So just stop it.
Especially as you got older.
Yes, as I got older. Or you've never been in politics before, so, like, your shot is over.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to share that it's actually even a breakthrough just for people to actually just start saying it out loud.
Yes. I mean, what you're doing right now is vulnerable, actually. Because when you make a declaration like you just did, you're putting yourself on the line. You're putting your buttocks.
Yes.
You're putting your buttocks. I can't say the other word.
No, the FCC will might not allow us to say the other
but
word.
But you're putting your buttocks on the line. And when you put your buttocks on the line, the universe and people inside the universe, your friends, your colleagues, folks around, start to relate and interact with you very, very differently, because they're like, he just put his butt on the line.
Yes, and then people like
assets.
Yes, assets. And then people who are part of the universe start to meet you at least halfway, like the gentleman sitting in the studio with us being one of the reasons why we are at WHCR 90.3 FM right now, and that would be Ash, the financial motivator, Cash himself. So the universe and people out there do to meet you halfway.
That's right.
All right.
Do you want to say just something more about that, Gregory?
Yeah. I think...
Because how we got onto this station is because of this man right here, Ash.
Yes. So I think, so in terms of, we talked about being responsible and also being vulnerable.
Right.
So the responsible part is Nick, myself, and Tommy wanted to have a radio show.
Right.
That's just talk.
Right.
So the responsible thing is to have a show, you got to have a show. Mm-hmm. So being responsible, Nick, Tommy, and I went and found a way to pay for airtime to get an internet-based radio show so we could have a show.
Right.
And then we told people. Like,
which, by the way, that's a different version of being on the court and having control.
Having control.
And having a different level of fulfillment and satisfaction.
Yes.
We went and created something.
Went and created something. Then we were vulnerable and we would say to friends and family and folks like Ash, man, we'd love to have a show on an actual radio station. We're doing our thing. We're grinding along. We're like doing our part. And also we're going to be honest and say we'd love some support. We want to do more and be it. Reach even more people. And by doing that, someone like Ash met us halfway. The universe brought him into our life, and he was able to introduce us to the team here.
Right.
And then look, all of a sudden, we were being responsible, being vulnerable, and we're now literally sitting together doing a show. And the thing we even said during the break, we're blessed to not be part of that 30% that aren't engaged at their job or what they do. Like, we actually get to live the dream and do something that lights us up.
Right. Absolutely. Exactly.
And I want to say, you know, about vulnerability, there's a saying that says a closed mouth doesn't get fed, right?
Mm.
So the universe doesn't know if you're hungry, if you're not willing to put it out there. And so to be vulnerable is opening up your mouth to say,
yes.
Hey, I'm hungry.
Yes.
Universe, feed me.
Yes.
And then once you open your mouth and say, universe, this is what I want, it will align whatever it is to get what you want, what you ask for.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially for the dudes out there. Did you hear that? If you want to be fed, you need to let folks know that you're hungry.
And that includes your significant other.
Yes.
If you're married, it includes your kids. Like, they get to go along for the ride to be responsible but also be vulnerable.
Yes.
Shout out to some of our online viewers. Nicole says, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. Between the Challenger unfortunately blowing up and me not liking science, that idea was a bust. I really only wanted to float in space. And then also Keith Reynolds, shout out to him. He goes, you'll never work a day in your life if you follow your passion.
Mm. Mm. And our friend Kara said, thank God you're not talking about politics.
Well, in our Say What Story of the Week, we have found a way to integrate politics into it.
Uh-oh.
Right? Okay. And you may become mayor one day, so let's not count that out.
That's right.
That's true. And folks like... Donald Trump have, in a way, given me
inspired.
Yeah, it's given me hope. I don't have to hold a political office to run for, forget mayor. I could run for president one day.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
So. Yes, you can.
Yes. Now, it's time for the Say What Story of the Week.
Say what?
Say what?
What? What you talking about?
Willis? For folks who don't know, that's a reference to Different Strokes.
Yes. What you talking about, Willis?
I know that. Some folks are like, who's Willis? I'm like,
I love that show.
Hey, I do too. And also,
so we're in the Say What segment? What's the Say What segment?
It is a story that is directly tied to the topic of the show, or at least loosely.
Okay.
And I think this one is loosely tied to the topic
of
the
show. Now, we have some new viewers online. What's our topic, Gregory?
Our topic is your job is killing you.
Your job is killing you.
Yes.
It's coming for you.
It's coming for you.
Yes.
Unless you make a change.
Yes.
Either within that job or go find your real calling.
Or... go make a change inside. Mm-hmm. The revolution starts here first.
Oh, come
with
on,
you.
Man. Yes. We take ourselves wherever we go. Today's Say What Story of the Week is 37 things you should never, ever say to your boss.
37? Oh, this could be good. This is going to be good, guys.
Yes. So the article starts off with, you might not always have the right words to say to your boss.
Right.
But if you can avoid the wrong ones, well, you're at least a step ahead.
Okay.
And it says that, you know, there's dozens of things that could happen in the environment, but never get too casual with your senior management or your boss.
Yep.
All right. Unless you want to get fired. All right. So there's 37, but I'm only going to share a few.
Okay. Got it.
The first one is never say to your boss.
Right.
You're really wearing that to that meeting? They didn't hire you to give fashion advice.
Yes, exactly.
So you may be thinking it, but keep it to yourself.
You're really wearing that to a meeting. Yeah, you might want to avoid saying that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So that's number four. So we're doing a countdown
here.
Can you
compliment someone on their clothing? Because that's also, that could be a little tricky as well, right? Like, I like your shoes. I like that jacket. I like the blouse, right? Whatever it may be.
Yeah, you probably want to keep it very generic. You don't want to say, like, I like that tight shirt you have on. Right.
and because it's your boss, you know, they may look at it as brown nosing. I would probably stay away from it.
Right. Or be careful of the, like, compliment, not compliment. Like, you say to your boss, like, ooh, that's one of the nicest ties I've ever seen you wear.
Right, right.
Like, does that mean that the other tie?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, just go, you look nice today.
Got it.
And keep it moving. All right, number three.
So this is 37 things you should never say or ever say to your boss.
Yes, and we're doing the top four of those 37.
Okay, got it. Okay.
So number three of the top four from us. Here we go. I'm happy to plan the team happy hour.
Okay.
I got a great stash of tequila in my cube. Don't.
Don't do that.
Yeah, because you know, what's that saying? Where there's smoke, there's fire. Right, so they're probably thinking, yeah, there's not just tequila in the cube. There's a whole bar going on, and then they're going to start following you where you're going to lunch.
Yes,
right,
yes. And you don't want that. So don't bring that drama. If you keep that bottle, keep it to yourself.
Right.
All right, number two of our top four of those top 37.
Okay.
Don't say this to your boss.
What's that?
I can definitely do your job. It's probably true.
Okay, yeah, right.
And at some point, you will be promoted to a similar job. But
right.
There's this old saying, I think it's the 48 laws of power. One of them is never upstage the master.
Yes.
Is one of those laws. That one sounds like a bit of an upstage there.
And, you know, something like that could happen accidentally, you know, where let's say your boss is going to be out for a week or two. Or they're, you know, some leadership offsite of some sort. And, you know, they say, hey, you know, I know there's a lot that's on your plate. You know, there's a lot going on. And you might say something like, hey, I can definitely do this. Like, you know, like, this is pretty easy. You got to be very careful. Right.
Yeah. Well, you were good up until you said the easy part at the end there.
Right.
Don't add the word like, oh, this is easy.
Right.
All right. And the number one of the 37
number
that
one of
we
one.
Feel is... never say this to your boss.
Okay.
Can you make sure the new hire is attractive? Thanks.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, and you know what? I was saying to Gregory, I think that's one that folks say a lot more than you realize. Mm. And especially in light of what's been going on this weekend on the political stage.
Sorry, Kara.
Here comes the politics.
Locker room banter.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get to have locker room banter and be respectful and responsible inside of your locker room banter. And I do think that folks make that reference. And sometimes we were saying, like, especially when it's gender to gender, man with man or woman to woman, that could, some version of that. It may not be those exact words. Can you make sure they're the hire is attractive, but easy on the eyes.
Yep.
You know, someone who has a certain personality type. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot more than we realize.
Yes, and definitely not something you should say to your boss and something that should not be said.
Yes, exactly.
And I know we mentioned just a slight reference to the Donald Trump and the locker room banter or the way he described it. And I think it's important for us as dudes to just say that it's not acceptable.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that it's not even locker room banter. It's sexual assault banter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is not something that we stand for. And hopefully no one does. And I've been pleased that it seems like people are starting to speak out about it. But I want them to focus on what those words meant, not just the words that were used.
Yeah, and by the way, you know why it's not? Listen, calling it locker room banter is a different way of saying I'm not taking responsibility.
Absolutely.
Because you always say, Gregory, we take ourselves everywhere.
Yep.
And how you dance in one place and who you be in another place, right, is how you're showing up everywhere. And you may not actually say those words everywhere, but your being is that way. And so, yeah, don't tell me it's locker room banter. You're just, it's a poor excuse for not taking responsibility.
Yep, and that is something we can all agree on. Still to come, though.
Wait, there's more. There's more to the Dudes of Disruption.
There's parting shots.
Parting shots coming up.
And there's also...
Yeah.
Now that we have been honest that we don't like our jobs, what are we going to do about it?
Right?
Some tips and some rules of disruption to help folks really figure out what next.
Yes.
More of the Dudes of Disruption after this break. Welcome back to the Dudes of Disruption.
Dude.
With Nick. Dude. Gregory.
I was late, sorry, dude.
It's all good. With Nick and Gregory. Shout out to Tommy, who's taking a vacation day today. But we have Ash Cash, the financial motivator, in studio with us, and we are grateful for that today.
There he is.
Guys.
Yes.
We're talking about your job is killing you.
You guys call us guys, not dudes?
Dudes.
Dude.
There was a cliffhanger.
Yes.
You two both shared what you wanted to be when you were younger.
Yes.
But I know a little secret that you didn't always pursue those dreams for the past couple of years. Talk to us about what got in the way and how you overcame it.
I mean, I'll jump first.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was exactly the conversation you had with the young lady. Mine was with my mom, given the conversation. I was making a lot of money. I was a VP at one of the largest financial institutions in the world. And when I told her, listen, I'm leaving to do this, you know, follow my dream. It was like, are you a madman?
And are you mad?
Are you mad? And then so that narrative was like, I don't want to disappoint my mom.
Right.
And then so I never jumped. And the thing about that, though, is that if you don't jump and don't follow what's in the heart, it will haunt you.
Yes.
Right. Because you know this is what you need to do. And once you can't wake up and then try to go back to sleep.
Right.
Yes.
Once you're woke, you're woke. And then so for me, it haunted me over and over and over again until I had to decide whether the pain of letting my mom down temporarily.
Right.
Or the pain of being haunted by my dream, which one was worse?
Yes.
And I chose me because I live with me.
Yeah.
Yes. And then eventually, my mom is now like, oh, look at my baby on
right.
television.
Right, exactly. I told you so, honey.
Yeah.
You should always listen to your mama.
Right.
I love that. The cost, you got in touch with it, and then you went after what you wanted.
And by the way, just real quick to build on what Ash said, which is once you know, and by the way, like Gregory said earlier, you've known for a long time.
No.
But once you like really know, like once you're like willing to surrender to it, it would be stingy of you to not go for it. Because the world is a demand for authenticity and a demand for self-expression. It would be stingy to not fulfill that part of you.
Well, I mean, on that note.
Yeah, drop the mic, baby.
Right, I wish I had a bomb or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That like, I needed to do something.
Yes, that's a different way to look at it. Like, you actually are not serving the world
exactly.
by not doing what you're doing. I have this saying that I say that you're actually throwing off the ecosystem.
Mm. Yes, that's a different way. Yes,
yeah, you're actually
absolutely.
Like messing things up in nature
absolutely.
By not doing that.
So Nick, what was it for you?
Real quick, I'll say that for me, what got in the way in pursuing my dream was looking good.
Mm.
You know, I think you and I had a similar path, Ash, which is we went, and Gregory as well, we all went into corporate America.
Yep.
And especially some of my close friends, you know, got jobs, you know, big companies like IBM. And I thought, well, shoot, I've got to go and be Mr. Corporate. That's the place that's going to make me look good. Mm-hmm. And I really bought into that conversation. And the consequence was not being myself. Not being self-expressed. I was good at what I did. I was good in corporate America, and I got promoted, you know, to manager, director, VP, VP at a public company. I did well, and at the same time, it was like gnawing at me, like a thorn in the side. Like, this is not your place. So looking good is what got in my way. And again, for the global tribe, you're not going to look very good if you're frustrated.
No.
And sad. And in chaos inside of your head. Because eventually, it's going to show up in your face and in your body.
Very true. And this looks much better on you and on Ash.
Thank you.
What you want to do.
Thank you.
Not
wink, wink.
Stingy.
Wait, are you saying that I look attractive? Because that's one of the things you shouldn't say to your boss. I'm not your boss, but as a colleague, is that okay that he's saying that we look pretty good?
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're on camera, so folks can tell for themselves.
Okay, I'm just making sure
that following your dream
okay.
looks good on
okay,
you.
Right, thank
absolutely,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we've reached that part of the show.
What?
The hour goes by so quickly.
Say what? Again?
Yes. So, as always, thank you for listening to the Dudes of Disruption. A reminder,
yes.
Live show every Sunday on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, from 2 to 3 p.m., and then podcasts available every Monday on iTunes and Podomatic.
And thank you, Global Tribe. On Podomatic, we are in the top 10 podcasts for self-help. Thank you
nice,
so much for
nice.
Watching, listening, supporting, tweeting, sharing, all the things you do.
Yes, we appreciate you. And with that, it is time for parting shots. Over to you, Mr. Good News.
Thank you, Gregory. Thank you, Ash. Thank you, Global Tribe. The American dream is a phrase attributed to historian James Truslow Adams in his 1931 book, Gregory, called The Epic of America. Adams defined the American dream as the dream of a land in which life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone, with opportunity for each. That's you, Global Tribe, with opportunity for each according to ability or achievement. And the one element since 1931, Gregory, that has remained most constant is having the freedom to live life in the way one chooses. Global Tribe, choose to get yourself on the court. If on the court means transitioning out into another career or another company or another organization, choose it. If choosing means you're going to stay in the environment you're in, look for ways to make it more of a self-expression of yourself. Whatever it is, choose to get on the court. Do yourself, your family, and the world a favor. Get off the bench, get back on the court, and become the point guard, the shooting guard, the center, the power forward, small forward, all of the above in your life. The world is waiting for you and your game.
You know, I love a good basketball analogy.
I knew I did that for you.
I appreciate that. And my parting
shot. Give me another
Dropping bars.
And my parting shot is, it's normal to have considerations about your job.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone. Mm-hmm. And actually, we know you're not alone, because 70% of people don't like what they do every day.
That's what Gallup says.
So got it. However, my offer to you is to approach life from a different way going forward. Figure out what your passion is. And actually, cancel the word figure. Rediscover what your passion is.
I love that.
Be willing to become extraordinary at it, and then serve people.
Yes.
And when you can make those things come together, the ecosystem works itself out. And you will get the support you have. And at the same time, when you do that, whether it's your mom as the Ash example, or that woman I was on a date with, or Nick with some of his friends, they're going to give you some pushback.
Right.
But you get to be responsible in how you approach it.
Right.
And be vulnerable with them about what you're about to do, because you're about to go follow your dreams. Right. Because guess what?
What?
As Eddie said, you already know what you want to do. So don't let life tell you anything different.
Yes.
Back over to you, Mr. Good News, to take us on home.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. So we end every show. We complete our show, Global Tribe, for some of the newcomers to the show, with a quote, Ash, from a Hall of Fame disruptor, Dr. Seuss.
My guy.
Don't cry, Ash, because it's over. A big, major, big smile, because the dudes just happened.
Dude.
Dude.
Dude.